I'm going to kind of do a little bit of backpedaling, kind of review a couple things this morning, start over. We're looking at the battle. Be sure it is. I mean, this war is going to go on as long as you're alive. Remember years ago hearing somebody preaching about, you know, how the devil, you know, was attacking and fighting. And boy, this old Christian, I mean, I guess old saint, near 90 years old, and he's talking all about how, you know, the enemy, you know, were pulling at you with all kinds of, you know, temptations and whatever. And this old saint, about 90 years old, making his way down to the altar. And the pastor made a comment. And he says, "Does the devil ever give up?" He says, "No. No, as long as you got breath and you got breath to testify for Jesus Christ, he's going to try to shut you up. And the best way to do that is to get you involved in things you know that are wrong, immoral, and or get you in doubt, in fear. That's another. I remember I think I told y'all I went like 3 years struggling with I didn't have no joy, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, I was always, you know, I'd hear preachers preach, and boy, and I'd listen to that sermon, I said, man, that sounds like me, you know, and boy, and they'd say, and something inside of me was saying, man, are you sure that you're saved? And I'd sit there and I'd go over and reason it and go back over on the scriptures. I said, I know I'm saved. But the devil was always sitting there saying, you really don't know. You just hope you know. You just think you know. Just anything can to try to get you to have doubts. And you know what? And when you're like that, you know what kind of a witness you are? Not much, I can tell you that. You do not want to. But you know what I did? I stuck with it. Even in the times when I had my worst doubts, I took out what I knew that the Word of God said, because I knew it was right. And I knew I wasn't. I knew the problem wasn't in the Word of God nor in the promises of God. The problems I was having had to do with my own mind and my own heart and the things that, you know, I'd allowed to be taken in. And now, you know, I was struggling, fighting. Any of y'all ever have that kind of problem? Okay. And that's why it's so important to have a lot of these, I think, these things reconciled, understood about the mind and the heart, the soul, the will, the spirit. We got to understand these things. We got to understand, you know, how the devil comes against us and attacks us and comes against our heart, comes against us. We know about the heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it's deceitful above all things. All things? You mean it's more deceitful than the devil? Yeah. You don't know who your worst enemy is? It ain't the devils of hell. It's that fellow you meet in the mirror every morning. And he will trick you. He'll deceive you. Hey, it's called, and the reason why is we got to deal with a thing every day. Melvin kind of come in on conversation there at the end. What was it? What was that thing that plagues us so bad? A thing begins with, well, yeah, but that one little area that causes us all to fall, pride. Pride, and it takes so many forms. You can, a guy think, you know, that he is humble as pie and as apple pie, and the whole time, man, he's so puffed up, you know. And I'm telling you what, you might not know it, but others around you can see it. They can feel it. They can sense it. When y'all puffed up, you might be acting humble. You might be pretending to be meek, but the whole time, you know, you're sitting there and you're full of yourself. And that's what pride is. And you get all filled up with what you think, what you believe. Now, we looked at a person that happened to. Right off the bat, we looked at a man by the name of Saul. How Saul, well, he was a humble man. He was a shy man. He was a man that the thought of being a king scared him to death. He didn't want nothing to do with it. When they come to the anointing to be king, you know what he did? He ran and hid in the stuff. He said, I don't want to do this. Even though God had already given him a new heart. The Bible said that the Lord had given him a new heart and made him another man. Before, and God was giving him what he had to have to lead that nation. And here's the bad thing. A lot of times what happens to people when they start having successes, they get lifted up in pride. And you get people, you get people, I tell you, don't ever go to our preacher and slap him on the back about stuff. Do you know, he doesn't have anything that he did not receive from somebody else. And he got it all from God. You want to encourage a preacher, you go up there and you encourage him in the Lord. You let him know, I'm glad God used you today. And you give the glory to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be more helpful to him. You go up there and you start him. Well, preacher, you did a great job today, boy. That message was something, you know. And you know what you're doing? You're speaking to that heart, and those words can very easily lift him up in pride. Now, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do it to your neighbor. You don't want to do it to your church members. You tell them you're thankful for them. You let them know that we're each important to one another, and I'm praying for you, and I thank God for you. But always, who gets all the glory? Huh? Who are we going to lift up when we speak to one another? Hopefully, it's not going to be, you know, one another, but it's going to be the Lord. But then, what happened. I can just kind of see what happened to him over a period of time. He had some successes, and all these people said, God saved the king. King live forever. Oh, yeah, man, Saul, he's slain his thousands, you know. Boy, he said, I am doing a pretty good job, ain't I? You know, next thing you know, you get all lifted up in pride. Then it all gets about him. And then, boy, then when David comes along, you know, it's like, it's all about him. You know what I mean? It's all about Saul. And God, he didn't even call him his God anymore. He said, your God, when he spoke to Samuel. He said, your God. He didn't got so far away from God, he didn't even look at him as his God anymore. You know why? Because you know who his God was? He met him in the mirror every morning. You don't know who your God is? Who you listen to? Huh? Who you listen to? That's who your God is. You know, I know a lot of people, where they get up in the morning, and you know what? They hear when they wake up in the morning, they hear that water ripple and that bass hit that. Church? No, I'm going to worship down here on the lake. I can worship down on the lake just as good as I can, you know, gathering with the saints, you know. And boy, they go out there and they'll pull their God out of the garage and down to the lake they go, you know. Huh? And that's what begins to happen, you know. Whoever we serve, you know, that's who we're serving to. Whatever we serve. And so we find that's what happened on Saul. Then we also, we kind of looked at Adam and Eve and looked at that. You see all that. You know, the mind and the heart and then the soul. How the mind, you know, listen to what Satan had to say. Man, you gotta be careful who you listen to, right? Huh? Lean not to your own understanding. That's what she began to do. She took what the devil said and with her understanding, you know, she made a decision. And when she looked on that tree, her heart was, now, the mind was saying, you know, it's starting to make sense. And the heart says, yeah, and I kind of like to have some of that. I desire that. That looks good, you know. And the thoughts of being God, that's pretty intriguing thought. You know what I mean? Huh? Yeah. Hey, look, I know our pride. We like to be God sometimes. Boy, I tell you, if I was God, you ever say that? Boy, I tell you, good thing I'm not God. If I was God, I know what I'd do with that crowd. I'd kick the dirt over them. You know what I'm saying? Huh? And if I was God knowing me, when I do, I'd kick the dirt over me, you know? But, and that's, she was intrigued by that. And her heart deceived her. Her mind deceived her. She started leaning to her own understanding. And you know what? Goes crazy. Now here's Adam. He wasn't deceived. Stupid rascal. Huh? He's supposed to have been looking over things. He makes a decision. You know what he said? He said, well, she's awful important to me. More important than what God said. How many of us make decisions like that? Over acquaintances and love. His heart was deceived too, in a way. He wasn't deceived about whether or not this was going to be good for him. What took him in was his desire for that woman. His love for that woman was greater than the love he had for his Creator. We got to be careful of that. Hey, how many young people, you think about it. You think about yourself when you was young. Your friends. What's the word they use, you know, them, you know, the ones that's looking on, making judgments, your peers, they say. How many young people, you know the truth about God will give in to peer pressure. And why is that? They care more about what people thinks than what God thinks. Did that not happen to Saul as well? When the people wanted to save the best of things and offer them up to God for an offering, he said the people. You know what he should have told the people? He said, God said kill it all. We're not taking none of it. You understand? Yeah, but if this is good, we'll offer it up to God. He said, God don't want it. God wants it dead. Do you understand? But he cared more about what the people thought than what he thought. You see? That mind, you know, was sitting there rationalizing. Well, you know, the people, you know, they're gonna get upset with me when I go against them. You know what I'm saying? And his heart said, well, I don't want that. I don't want people mad at me. Huh? When you're down there on the job, you know, and you're trying to make a stand for God, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't want to make them mad at me. They might not like me. Why are you worried about what they like and want? Won't we worry more about what God likes and what God wants? You think God's not able to speak to the heart? When you take a stand, take a position, you stand for God, you let people know, you know, where you stand, who you stand for. You think God's not able, hey, to take what you do? You say, I might not get that raise. I might not get that, in that. You know, they, you know how they are in them offices. They don't want to promote you. No. Hey, what is their promotion going to matter? We're leaving this world. And riches is not in the things that you obtain. It's what's being put up there. Amen. You're leaving all this. But, you know, that's what he was concerned about and how his heart deceived him there. Then we're trying to look at how we look at some verses over there where you find that the, you know, I've often said this, and I know a lot of y'all have said this too. Salvation, a lot of people miss salvation by 18 inches. You know what I'm saying? They believe it with their head, they don't believe it with their heart. There's some truth in that. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe it with your head, you ain't going to believe it with your heart. Your mind and your heart has got to work together. Your intellect, God, speaks to our mind through our spirit. Would you not agree that? the Bible says that the Word of God, hey, there's no way that you in your flesh can understand the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. And it's the Spirit of God. Hey, you can take a man that has never been converted. He can study this Bible, and there's a bunch of them out there. Theologians, they've studied and studied. They study the ancient manuscripts. They know this book from cover to cover. A lot of them can quote volumes to you. I mean, they know intellectually. They can take, and you know what happens to a lot of them? Same thing that happened to these people. They get lifted up in their pride, and then all of a sudden this thing's full of mistakes. It's got all these problems. And they can't reconcile them. You know why? Because they're spiritually understood. They out there and said, well, you know, over here it said, you know, I've never seen God's people forsaken or his children beg bread. And said, and two or three chapters later, they're out there starving to death. Huh? Eating pigeon dung. Huh? Horses' heads. They even cutting their children up and eating them. Now, how do you reconcile that? Well, you better be able to reconcile it. Because the devil's going to say, see there, God ain't going to take care of you. God ain't, see? You can't depend on God. God said he would never see his children beg bread. You know what he called them? He called them his people. My people. Over and over he said, my people. My people. My people are rebellious. My people won't listen. My people are full of themselves. My people are, you know, are involved in all kinds of wickedness. And I'm judging them. Why? Because they are his people. Where does judgment start?
House of God.
That's right. And who's the house of God?
Us.
Not this building. Every one of us has been saved by the grace of God. So judgment must start with us. You know? And the devil would love nothing better than to get us all sidetracked, full of ourselves, full of rebellion, and just watch God just beat the far out of us. But God ain't taken in. That's where the devil tries to work. He tries to get... Hey, you say, that don't make sense. Well, you remember when the children of Israel, they were coming up through there, and them Midianites got them in there, you know, and the old king said, I want you to call old Balaam up there. He said, I want you to come up here and curse this people. They're coming up out of Egypt. He said, I want you to curse them. He said, well, I said, I can only do what God lets me do. He said, well, he said, I can either say neither good nor bad. I have to pray. So he goes there and prays that night. He said, you ain't going to curse these people. These are my people. I'm coming. I've blessed them. Ain't no man going to curse them. He got up next morning and said, y'all going back? He said, God won't give me leave. He said, no. That should have settled it, shouldn't it? He had the same problem. His heart and mind was reasoning. His mind was saying, man, he promised me all this gold and silver. And he promised me I'd be, man, I'd be getting a good big position, you know, there in the king's court. Boy, that's so attractive. We're talking about the priest of the Most High God. That's what he was called. A little bit later, king gets all upset. He said, well, I'm going to send more important people than the last ones. And I'm going to promise him more. Because I need somebody to come up and curse these people. Cuss them out. I need somebody to cuss them out. Because they're going to come up here and they're going to take what we got. And so he comes back down and, now God's already told him, right? He come around and said, well, you know, I told you before, I can only do what God says. He said, let me go ask God again tonight. You know what's happening? His heart's wanting to do it.
Amen.
You know, God will let you do what you want. So here's what he said. He come around and he says, God, he said, go up. Go with him. I'll tell you what to say. You just go on up with him tomorrow. and I'll tell you what to say. He said, okay, we know the story, right? Saddles his ass, going up through there, you know. Angel of the Lord said, they're going to take his head off because of his disobedience. God already told him what to do. He didn't need to ask him again. You think God, the Bible said God is not a man that he should, what, repent? If he said it the first time, he meant it. He said, thou shalt not lie. He gonna come back later and say, well, it's okay once in a while. You can lie here and lie there. He said, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt, you know, God ain't changed on none of that. You know what I'm saying? He don't change. He said, do not cuss my people. You know? He still says that today, does he not? He's supposed to be cursing people, telling people to go to hell and stuff like that. Hey, you ever get mad sometimes? Oh boy, you just, that's the way you feel, you know. I've caught myself before and I'd say, oh God, where did that come from? I know where it come from. Come up out of my heart. Come up out of my heart. The things that proceed out of the heart of a man, that's what defiles a man. That's what Jesus said, is it not? That's the reason why you got to renew this mind, and that mind works on that heart. It reasons with the heart. And the heart is always, you know, desiring. The heart wants what pleases, you know, it, and you gotta let the Spirit of God teach and renew this mind, and that mind speak to that heart and reason with it until the heart comes in agreement with the mind. And then the soul can make the right decisions and do the right things. But here he was, he'd come here and born, and the angel going to kill him. We know the story. The donkey run him into the wall, and he finally just fell down under him. And he began to beat him. He said, why you beat me? I have not opened up the donkey's mouth. Would you not have got a clue about then something unusual going on, huh? I mean, that donkey, you know, he begins to say, have I not been a good donkey? Have I not, sir? Why are you beating me? See, that donkey could see. God opened his eyes. He could see. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Jackass is smarter than you, huh? You believe it. You better believe it. You better believe it. Without the spiritual discernment of God, the beasts of this earth have more understanding than men. See, I don't believe it. You need to go read Job then. Job told him, he says, ask the animals, they'll tell you. They know. So, finally, then God opened his eyes. He's that angel. He said, if it wasn't for your donkey, you'd be dead right now. Well, I was going to kill you. He said, I'll go back. He said, no, I want you to go up now. And I want you to say whatever I tell you to say. But he didn't want to, not really. When he got up there, no, and he saw that it pleased God, and the Bible said, man, he wanted to get in on it. But when he went back to the house, he went back to that same little hovel he had been living in. No money, no fame, you know what I'm saying? Having that opportunity to stand and speak the words of God wasn't enough for him. He wanted more. And we find him later, what is he doing? He said, I'll tell you what you can do to get God to curse this people. He said, you seeing your good looking honeys down there? You know, and their sexiest stuff. Let them dance before the men. And they'll give in to it. That's what they did. And the men, these young men started going after them girls. And next thing you know, they're going after their gods. You know, the gods of gold. You know, the the gods of sex and drugs and rock and roll and whatever, music of all types. I said rock and roll because that's what, you know, that's what I used to worship when I was a kid, child. It's what I worshiped by. You know? Still in here, too. Still in here. Everywhere I go, I hear it, and I'm reminded. You don't think I got to be on guard? You don't think I got to renew my mind? You don't think I got to constantly be putting the Word of God and warning myself? And what did they do? They did. Matter of fact, God got mad, did he not? They would worship him as God. You remember the story? Y'all remember the story? Huh? And the plague broke out. I forget how many thousands, but it was thousands and thousands and thousands of them starting to die. And Phinehas come out, the priest come out, took a javelin, chased a man and a Midianitish woman into the tent and killed them and stayed the plague. And they're aware and running out there, boy, making an offering quickly. And God said, so I spared you because of the zeal of Phinehas. He stood for me. And he stayed to play. You see? And that's the way this heart does. It reasons. It knows what it wants. And Betty, we need to have somebody in control of it. And it isn't us. We need to let the Spirit of God guide us in all of our understanding and ways, and we need to be renewing our mind constantly and praying that God would, you know, keep us. Boy, just keep our heart. That's really why I like him little children's songs, you know, about, cause they're simplistic. But they make much like, Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me so. And encourage myself in this fact that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And my need for Him. My need for, and boy, them things, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. You know? It seems so simple, but it speaks volumes. It's depth in it. That's really why we taught it to our children, you know. And sad today, a lot of children aren't getting those good little children's hymns now that were so full of spiritual teaching. Man, I knew when I was a little kid, I learned them songs, you know, about careful little eyes, what you see. I knew I was supposed to be careful about what I watched, but I watched it anyway. I watched it anyway. But I never got away from it. You know? Never got away from it. I think it was 1978. Things wasn't going very well for me. My wife and I was having we hadn't been married long. You know how it is. They say first couple years, boy, I mean, it can be rough. If you make it through that, you know, you got a shot, you know, if you make it for the first couple years, you know. And I'm telling you what, my wife was ready to kill me and I was ready to kill me too, literally. I went out in the woods, had a black powder 45. I loaded that sucker, put the cap on it, cocked it back, stuck it under my chin. I was really thinking seriously. I said, I can't handle it no more. I'm sick to death of me. And I heard in my mind went back to this old-time Methodist preacher. He was preaching about the return of Christ. And I thought back about how God spoke to my heart that night, Ernie, that one day I was going to stand before God. I knew if I pulled that trigger, the next second I was going to wake up in a literal burning hell. I very gingerly pulled the gun out from under my chin. I said, it's not that bad. Cocked it, uncocked it, went to the house. Did things get better? No. Didn't get better. But God saved my life that day. What was it? It was the Word of God. It was still down inside of my heart. It's powerful. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. But it's alive. It's quick and powerful. You want to know what changes people? It's the Word of God. Amen. You just give it to them. God said, my word shall not return void. It is spirit and it is life. And it is the only thing that can deal with our sorry, no account, wicked, deceitful, low down, dirty hearts. And the good thing is when you get saved, you get another one. Now you still got the old one, don't get me wrong. You still got, but you get another one. And you know whose heart it is? It's the Lord Jesus. It always desires the right things. And it's there. It's available. And we have the mind of Christ. You know? And those two are always working and will never quit. And He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians and we'll spend what time we got left looking at a few verses of Scripture. Some of this is repetitive, I know. Felt like I missed and went too quick on a lot of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at 14. Notice this, for their minds were blinded. For until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even to this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. See, it's almost like one is the same right here. You know? Their mind was blinded. Why? Because of a veil. Their heart was blinded. Why? Because of a veil. That veil had to be removed. The Spirit of God had to enlighten the mind, which encourages the heart to make the right decisions. Give it the right desires. You see? The mind shows the heart and said, look, we've been wanting to do the wrong thing. And it reasons. It reasons with the heart. And then the heart, when it begins, I say this all the time. If you desire Christ, if you come to a point in your life where you desire to have Jesus Christ in your life, guess what? You got Him. You've got to come, but you've got to come to that point where you have that desire, and you cannot do that on your own. It takes the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got other people, they'll come along behind you and tell you, though, says, you can't get saved when you want to. Look, the point of it is, when you want to, it's because God is calling you, you know? If you want to, that's the day to get saved. Huh? Well, I know, I can go over some verses over there. It says, and then shall they call upon me, but they shall not find me. They ain't wanting Christ. You know what they want? They want fire insurance. You know? They trying to save their hides. They're not wanting what's right. They're not repenting because they want to get right. They're repenting because I got caught. You know, we know that, Kyle. They done got caught. Now they're going to have to pay. And they say, whoa, I want out. No, if you want Christ, if you want Jesus Christ, you got him. But you got to come to that point. I ain't never heard somebody say, I ain't want to get saved, but he come in here and he just broke in on me and made me get saved. I will say this, after I got saved, things got kind of rough. I said, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I thought it was going to get easy. I thought things was going to get, you know. But I had a bunch of trial of afflictions, and man, nobody had been my buddies and wanted to have anything to do with me no more, and my wife thought I'd lost my mind. Man, I wanted to make all these kind of changes. She's like, I said to her, you still love me, don't you? And she said, I don't know who you are. Came along after a while. She was already saved, but she wasn't. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just got really zealous over the Word of God. I was, man, I'd come home, you know, I just had a newborn baby desire to send through milk. And I just, something happened in me that I wanted to know. And I began to read and to study and to study and to read. And my wife would come home, and I was neglecting her. I mean, really. I talked to her here and there, and every time I talked to her, you know what I want to talk to her about? About the Word of God. It wasn't about, how was your day today, honey? Love you. No, it was, boy, you know what it says over in here? And boy, you know, she's like, oh, man, this guy's been turned into a fanatic, you know? I ain't changed much. Not much. I hope I've gotten a little more reasonable, but I haven't changed a whole lot. But the thing of it is, when you desire the Lord and you desire to know His mind, you desire to know His will, you want that heart of God when you desire it. And the only way that can happen is when you get this mind on the right track. The Bible says we need to renew our mind every day. We need to take this word right here. And I'm going to tell you something. You can accomplish it in yourself. Don't think just reading the Bible that you just read it, and then you'll be able to make these changes. That ain't what happens. You read and read and read and read and read the Bible, and you put things in here. And it's like that old story, and I know you've all heard it about the preacher telling the young preacher to take this old dirty basket and go down to the creek and get some water in it. And he said, "That thing won't hold water." He said, "Just do what I tell you." He goes down there and gets it and does it about 4 or 5 times. He said, "Now look at that basket." He said, "Well, it still won't hold water." He said, "Yeah, it just poured right through, didn't it?" And that's the way you feel about the Word of God. You read it and you read it and you read it, but when you get done, you don't feel like, you know, you've got any more out of it. He said, "But look at the basket." He says, "It's a lot cleaner, isn't it?" And oftentimes, that's what we do. We take this Word of God and we read it. It doesn't return void. It accomplishes what God pleases, not what we want. We got to get out of this thing about trying to read the Bible to get what we want out of it. Read the Bible so God can get what He wants out of us. Amen? We read the Bible with the intent to have it take charge and control of us. So you just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. It will do what God sends it forth to do. It will renew our minds, and it will, boy, I tell you, if there's anything the devil would like to do, he would like to trip you up on this. After reading a while, when you read something and you say, I don't understand this, it don't seem like it's right, it seems like it's a contradiction, I had a sermon I wrote one time. It was called Biblical Contradictions. And I thought it was kind of important at the time. I don't know if it was, because there are contradictions in the Bible. You say, you don't mean that. I said, yes. I said, it doesn't mean that there are mistakes in the Bible. It simply means that they contradict themselves because they're in different. You got to rightly divide the Word of God, you see. This is true here, but it's not true here. It might be true for this people, but it doesn't mean it's true for you. You say, well, you didn't think you're saying God changed his mind? No. It's just things have changed. Jesus said this. He said, except you forgive. What? Somebody finish it for me. Except you forgive. Finish it for me, Melvin. What does he say? Yeah, that's what he said, wasn't it? Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he was speaking to the children of Israel, he said, except you forgive those that trespass against you, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. But Apostle Paul said, we're to forgive as we are forgiven already. Didn't have nothing to, what came first? Hey, when he was speaking to that nation of Israel, he said, if you don't forgive, I ain't going to forgive you. Now he comes down here and he sent a message out to the Gentiles. One's before the cross, one's after the cross. And now he says to them, he said, now you forgive. Why? Because God has, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. These things, they might not be that important, but they're important to me because these were little things. You don't put them together, it seems like they're contradictions. Can't understand them. I couldn't understand for the longest time. I said, God, I don't understand. You said that the children wouldn't pay for the sins of the fathers. And yet here, these men are being taken by David, and they're going to take them out and they're going to put them to death because of the things that Saul did against his people. I said, I don't understand. I said, you said that's not true. It wouldn't happen. And I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed. I said, show me, God. Show me. Show me. Show me. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And he took me back over and right before they come into the nation of Israel, Moses said, now, I want you to go over here and go up on top of this mountain. I want you to go over and get up on top of this mountain. And you get over there, and now, if you're obedient to me, you're going to get these 50 blessings. He said, but if you're being disobedient to me, you got these 50 curses that's going to come upon you. That's the reason why David could say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or children beg bread, but next thing you know, we're seeing them starving to death. Why? Because they were under the curse. They were living under a time. When David made that statement, they were under the blessings of David. They were being obedient and following God and doing what they were supposed to do, so they were living under the blessings. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We got that same kind of response that we got to deal with every day when we choose to live for God or we choose to follow after our flesh. Judgment starts at the house of God. If we allow our heart to deceive us, then we can get off in some areas where God's going to have to judge us, going to have to deal with us, hey, going to have to punish us, going to have to reconcile some things with us. You know, if we live after the flesh, we shall reap of the flesh. Ain't that what it says? If we live after the Spirit, we shall reap after the Spirit. So, I mean, that's something that we need to realize in taking this Word of God, applying it to our hearts, understanding. That's the reason why it's so important to understand the Bible. That's the reason why it's so important. You know, Brother Joe Allen used to encourage us to study. Study the Word of God. Read it and study it. And learn. Ask God to teach you to be able to rightly divide it. You say, I know it. I know it's work. It's hard. It's hard to study. But boy, I tell you, it can be, you can fall in love with it too. When God speaks and shows you these things, hey, you can trust God and know you can't do it yourself and quit trying to do it yourself. You understand? Get to that point where you realize you cannot live the Christian life and realize that Jesus Christ has got to live it through us. Amen? And boy, it sure take a lot of weight off a lot of people that are trying to do it themselves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.